When do you want to start, Mark?
I just give it another minute here. I lost my time. We'll give it till 7:03 and then we'll get started.
Hey, Mark, are the minutes that are in the Dropbox, are those the last version?
Yes, those are all the draft two.
Okay. Yeah, if you could, I don't want to make an issue, but just go through and I think maybe I saw my name, maybe had a misspelling somewhere.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, what happens, Chuck, is spell check doesn't like your name. It tries to change it.
So I add it to my library. I have to add my own name.
All right, Martha.
All right. Welcome to the September 1, 2020 Lower Frederick Board of Supervisors General Meeting. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Couple announcements. We are still under a disaster declaration. We are having all our meetings virtually. If you have a comment or a question, you may either email or call our manager. You may put something in the chat box or you can raise your hand in the chat box. Supervisor Yizer is here. However, he is not feeling completely up to snuff. So he asked me to lead the meeting, but he is here, just not, he has his video off. So I think everyone's here except for Tom Manning. Is that correct? Okay. And again, township meetings are recorded for the purpose of preparing the minutes. The recording is destroyed 6 months after the minutes are approved. This meeting will be recorded by the teleconference provider. Everyone who wants to speak before the board, please state their name, full name and address, and the subject matter they want to speak about. We also ask if people, if we have a complicated or controversial issue, we ask you all to state your question once and not more than once for the purposes of giving everyone a fair chance. And that's all I have for announcements. So first we have administrative actions, approval of the minutes. We're going to be approving three sets of minutes tonight. If anyone has an objection to doing this in one set, let me know. We can do them separately, but otherwise we'll do them as a group.
I'd prefer that we do them one at a time.
Okay. And I think the only correction we had, Mark, is if you could just maybe do a find replace and make sure that Chuck's last name is spelled correctly with a Y and not with an R. All right, so we have approval of the Board of Supervisors work session from June 23rd, 2020. All in favor of approving, please say aye.
This is the one, Mark, you're gonna have to help me because I can't bring them all up at once. Is the June 23rd the one that included the discussion of the...
Correct.
Okay, yeah, correct. Correct.
The survey?
The survey, yeah, and... So I'm trying to remember what I wanted to. Okay, it's not that. That's fine. That's also included the discussion of the below grade structures. And if I'm not mistaken,
give me a second.
Yeah, if you just pop that up for a second. And I'm not refuting anything that's in the minutes. I just wanted to point out that there was a clarification from, if these are the minutes, I believe they are, where it was indicated that there was some discussion about Doylestown's ordinance, and it turns out there was some misinformation related to them having had their ordinance contested, and it was checked out with the manager in Doylestown, and that ordinance had never been objected to, at least not legally, and not to the knowledge, not in any recent knowledge. If that's the correct meeting minutes, Mark.
Yeah, I think I'd have to ask our solicitor that question. Is the minutes reflect what actually happened in the meeting? If there's a factual correction, how should we handle that?
Yeah, the minutes are supposed to reflect what happened in the meeting. And if someone made a misstatement in the meeting, you shouldn't be correcting them in the minutes. I think there's two ways you can handle it. You could put like a footnote in there after the fact, or you can have in this meeting's minutes a statement that, hey, you know, the minutes of June 23rd, there was a misstatement as such. But you shouldn't try to correct the minutes factually, because
the way I'd seen this handled before is the latter, not the former, is basically I'm making the statement so that in these meeting minutes we can indicate that there, you know, despite what the conversation was at the 23rd meeting related to the Doylestown ordinance, there had never been any legal contesting of that ordinance. So it just, you know, because that was a heated discussion, so I did want to get that on the record. But the minutes are accurate as to what was discussed there. So we would record that as a statement for these meeting minutes, right?
Yes, that would be fine.
I think going forward, you have a motion, you have a second, and then you have a discussion, and what you wanted to add occurs during the discussion, and then we vote.
So I can alter that motion then, which is to, I'll move to approve the minutes for June 23rd, 2020, and add a comment from Supervisor Orff to indicate that what you said. So that will be reflected in today's minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Marla. That's,
all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. Are there any objections to doing the next two together, or do you want to do those separately too?
I'm okay with it.
I'm good with it.
Yeah. Okay, would someone like to have a motion to approve the next two sets of minutes, which is July 7th and July 28th?
I'll so move.
I'll second. This is Chuck Yeiser.
So Noel made the motion and Chuck seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That was unanimous. Treasurer's report?
Okay, thank you. As of Friday, August 28th, the cash balance in the general fund is $1,691,628.48. The cash balance in the sewer fund as of August 28th is $546,979.22. The list of checks in the general fund this month total $79,922.64. The list of checks in the sewer fund total $46,198.82. Reviewing the budget, the EIT for our current COVID situation. As of August 28th, we have collected approximately $8,000 less in earned income tax than we did in 2019 at this time. With this new information, we're still suggesting that we plan on an overall decrease in EIT for this year between 15 and 20%, which is roughly equal to $45,000 to $65,000. Fortunately for us, our real estate transfer tax is very strong. We're already at 91% of the budget for this year, so we're at $91,000. We budgeted $100,000, so that's looking like it, you know, it should come in around 120, so that should help offset some of the EIT that we're losing. Obviously, we can't hope for that always, but it's kind of nice to see right now. During the month of August, we received back our liquid fuels audit from the state with no findings, which is what you want to hear. So that was very good. So that was the liquid fuels audit for 2019, and the state was okay with everything that we did. And we submitted the last of the requested information for the 2019 DCED general audit to our auditors. So they'll be finishing up the 2019 general audit. Any questions?
I actually have I'll start with a statement and then a question specific to the sewer funds. But the statement is, good job, Mark and Cindy and everyone else involved in the liquid fuels audit. No findings are always good on an audit. Specific question, Mark, I should have sent you a question earlier, an email, but the sewer specialty services, so it looks like manhole inspections, televising, yes. Is that all part of what we talked about before, part of the existing grant from previous year?
Correct. That is the Small Waters, it's Small Waters grant. So that's what we talked about. We talked about that last week, I think. So this is just the payment for that. And then they will be back in to do the, they will be coming back in to do the grouting of the line that is leaking along Marion, I think, Carol.
Yes, that is correct. There's a couple of leaks they came back to address. They were actually in town today and completed that work for us. So I'll include that in my next engineer's report.
Great, thank you.
Are there any questions about either the treasurer's report or any of the checks that we need to approve for payment? Then can we have a motion to approve payment of the list of checks?
Also move.
This is Chuck Yeiser. I'll second Noel's motion.
Okay. So who is in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed. That was 5 unanimous vote. All right, now we have public comment on agenda items.
Hold on 1 second. I am not seeing anything, Marla.
Oh, someone raised their hand. I don't know who it is. If they can identify themselves.
Brian. It's Brian Hill, I believe.
Okay. Hi, Brian. Yep. No?
Hold on. I'm getting them on mute.
Well, last week it was Galaxy A29.
Yeah, I think that is Brian.
Okay. His code name. Yeah. You're not able to unmute him?
I'm having an issue. Give me a second here, let me find him again.
I asked him to unmute.
Oh. I even tested it with Bob earlier, and was able to get him to unmute. All right, I'm going to try something else here.
Ernie is unmuted.
What?
Sorry.
Mark, did you want me unmuted?
I asked everyone to unmute, trying to get Brian unmuted here. Brian, I gave you the opportunity. I think I gave everybody permission to unmute themselves, so see if you can unmute yourself, Brian.
Where do you do it on a phone, though? Where's the button to unmute on the phone?
*6.
Yeah, but he's on a smartphone.
Yeah, if he's running the app from his phone, then it's on the app.
I think you just tap the phone and it shows up somewhere on the top right or something.
There you go.
I think I'm here.
Oh,
am I here?
There he is.
You are.
Yep.
Hey.
Brian.
Hey, it's Galaxy A21, Brian Hill, 11 Sigler-Ville Road. Hey, just a brief, quick comment. Unfortunately, I'm driving, so I didn't see the agenda, but I'd just like to re-comment regarding the findings on the one grant that was found to be not warranted to Lower Frederick. I just would hope that the township has a plan for the Babington area regarding that addition to the sewer. And again, don't need to answer the question now. I just wanted to bring it to light and make sure that the board is thinking about that and what we're going to do, how we can continue that project forward.
Yep. Thank you, Brian. Excellent point.
Yeah.
It's on the radar.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, sorry about that.
Is there any more public comment?
I don't see any.
Okay, so move on to reports. Township engineer.
Thank you, Marla. The only item on my report tonight is the Goshen Road sidewalk. The board awarded that bid at the meeting last week. There is a change order before you tonight that will actually reduce the cost of some of the line items in that bid. This is change order number one. It's already been executed by the applicant and upon approval by the board would be executed by the township so that we can go forward. So this is a price reduction on the alternate line items. It's based on the fact that the contractor put higher prices in there to protect himself in case he had to remobilize to do that work. With this change order, we're stating that we're going to have him do this work at the same time as the other work. He won't need to remobilize. And for that reason, he gave us better prices. So if it pleases the board, I'd ask you to consider approving change order number one for the Goshen Road sidewalk, which will save close to $4,000 for Lower Frederick Township.
I move, this is Dan Worf, I move to authorize the submitted change order number one from G&B Construction Group Incorporated.
I will second.
Any discussion or questions?
Nope.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so that's 5 in favor, none opposed. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Okay, now township staff reports. Police chief.
Thank you, Marla. During the month of August, we had 359 calls for service. I want to take a minute to mention what I thought was some very excellent work from Corporal Dave Milligan, Officer Steve Rinker, and Officer Ryan Fields. On August 26th, About 3:23 in the afternoon, we had a house fire on Zieglerville Road, which turned out to be an arson. And the three officers responded to the area very quickly, and they apprehended two suspects who turned out to be juveniles, who subsequently have been charged with the arson of the property. Unfortunately, the residence was a total loss, but needless to say, we've been working with the property owner as well as some neighbors to clean up some issues. And we're moving forward with prosecuting these two juveniles. So I want to say good work to those three officers for that. I also would like to give some attention to Officer Steve Rinker, who for the last 6 months has very painstakingly been working on completing a DOJ grant to get us reimbursement for bulletproof vests. Bulletproof vests are a very costly item and they need to be replaced about every 5 years. That's the shelf life for a vest once it's used. And it's about $1,000 per vest. And Officer Rinker had to work through a tremendous amount of red tape. And with some help from our accounting department and Cindy upstairs, he's gotten everything worked out. And we started to get monies coming back in. And we our first deposit is actually two deposits. It was a little south of $1,000. And it's based on a percentage. It's not 100% reimbursement, but every little bit helps, especially for a small agency. Also, we had several other noteworthy arrests this month. We had an indecent exposure arrest involving a subject who exposed himself to three juveniles. That subject has been arrested and is heading to prosecution. We also had an incident in which we had somebody who was stealing electricity from PICO. As a result of the theft of electricity, his house caught fire and the house burned to the ground. That individual has been arrested because it was determined through investigation by Corporal Milligan and PICO that that individual had been stealing power at that location for quite a while. And in addition to that, we received a check totaling $600.73 from district court. And this represents fines and restitution paid by criminal defendants in traffic and criminal related matters. That's my report.
Thank you, Chief. Please send our thank you to the all the guys and to yourself. I know we have a very small police force, but you certainly all earn your pay. It's a lot's going on here.
Thank you very much, Marla. I will certainly let the guys know.
Ruth, is this relevant to the police report? Can she unmute herself?
Should be out. Yep, there she is.
Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
Can you speak up a little?
Yeah, I'm on the phone. Can you hear me? It's relevant to the police report.
Go ahead.
I'm just curious if Chief Maxey can speak.
Is that better?
Yes.
I'm curious if Chief Maxey can speak to an incident of a hit and run concerning a bicyclist on Schwenksville Road. Are you aware of the incident?
You know, I have some information, Ruth. That is outside of our jurisdiction and is being investigated by the Pennsylvania State Police. I don't feel that it would be really appropriate for me to comment on that, but I was aware of the situation. You know, we hear information, so I wouldn't feel comfortable discussing it because I can't really verify the information that I've been told. I haven't gotten it directly from the state police.
Okay. All right. I understand.
I'm sorry. And if you wanted to give me a call later in the week, I could certainly answer all your questions. I just don't feel comfortable making it a public statement regarding another agency's investigation.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else? Okay. Mark, do you have the Roadmaster report?
Yep. Yes, I do. We worked very hard during the tropical storm, closing roads, getting all that done. We worked to get the roads repaired after the storm. We continue to do storm work rehab in Foy Park. the guys continue to cut grass, as this year the grass really hasn't stopped growing. So we have to continually be out cutting grass. We worked on the wall at Crystal Drive, and they completed 5 sump pump inspections during the month.
Okay. If there's no questions, we'll move on to Township Manager's Report.
So as I just said, we had, unfortunately, during the tropical storm, we had major road repairs that we had to do after the storm left us and the waters receded. We had problems on Smith Road, Woodside, and Kratz Road. To the tune of close to $40,000 $35,000. So that's that would be a large hit to the general budget. So I made a call to my contact at PennDOT, our liquid fuels contact, and he feels very good since we use Saxon Sons, who is our equipment bid, and we bought the materials from the quarry that we had submitted the information for our project, except for Woodside, that we can move those other roads to our liquid fuels. So that would adjust what we do for this year with the equipment bid. So also we had to do some concrete work on Smith Road that would not be very easy to get under the liquid fuels. So what my recommendation to the board is we move $8,071.78 that we paid to have Smith Road repaired. Estimating, I'm still waiting for the materials bill to come in for Kratz Road. Estimation for Kratz Road is around $17,000. And then we would continue to do Schwenk Road, which was the initial project that we were planning to do. That would keep us under the $100,000 for liquid fuels, and it would allow us to get through this year. So we would be pushing Second Avenue off this year. And then we still hope to get Evergreen done with our in-house people, our in-house employees.
Thanks, Mark. And I just also want to give a shout out to our road crew and everybody, including our fire department, our police, everyone who helped out during that horrible storm. It was a mess. Okay, anything else?
That's all I have for the roads. Just township insurance. I wanted to let everyone know that I've just been looking into getting insurance quotes. The township has been with the same insurance provider, from what I can tell, since the 80s. So it's always good to shop around and see if you can get a better price. So I have been talking with Brown & Brown Insurance brokers who do several townships in the area. And I have also been in discussions with the Delaware Valley Trust, with the local trust, which is made up of all townships and some school districts, for the township property and liability insurance. I expect to have more information for us at the workshop meeting on that. I just wanted to give everyone a heads up. Our current insurance company is also, sharpening their pencil. So it's looking like we should be able to save some money in the property and liability insurance area. So I'm pretty excited about that and hope to have more information at our workshop meeting for that.
Thank you. Any questions from the board on any of these reports before we move on?
This is Dan Werf. I just wanted to state that I think the Sachs group did a very nice job, and they were very professional in carrying out their efforts. I wanted to at least recognize that. At least everything they did on Kratz Road was really nicely done. So,
This is Chuck. Mark, you mentioned the insurance, and I know you were also looking into electric rates, trying to see what we could do there. Have you been able to make any headway, or is that still a work in progress?
That's a work in progress. I have not made headway into that yet.
Okay, if there are no questions, that's at the end of your report, Mark?
Yep.
Okay, so move on to solicitor's report.
Yep. Peter?
You got to unmute yourself.
Sorry, guys.
Thanks.
I mute myself so I don't interrupt you. Okay, so starting with the 225 Big Road Sewer, this was put on the agenda because I've been told that this was a subject at the Planning Commission. I've heard what was discussed there, and I just wanted to kind of clear up how this process is handled as far as whether or not this project can be publicly sewered. Just to start off with, certain people have pointed to various zoning provisions saying that these zoning provisions prohibit this development to be publicly sewered. I have looked at the zoning ordinance. I do not agree with that. The zoning ordinance is actually pretty clear that in the R1 district, when you have properties that are under an acre in size, that they shall be served by centralized or public sewer systems. So the zoning ordinance actually is directing people that they have to provide sewage service centrally and not through on lots. And secondly, I just want to point out, the way this process normally works is, there's a planning process. The township has an Act 537 plan. Act 537 is a state law that was adopted, I believe, back in the 70s that sets forth how municipalities do sewage planning. Generally, what the Act does is it directs municipalities such as this township to determine what areas of the township are going to be served by public sewer, what areas of the township are not to be served by public sewer. In our case, and in this in regards to this property on Big Road, the property is actually listed in our Act 537 plan in an area called potential future service area subject to additional sewage facilities planning. And what that means is, when a development comes in, either the township or the developer can make a request to amend the township's Act 537 plan to show this property to be developed and to show how the property, how the sewage of resulting from this property is going to be managed. There's a detailed process of filing such, it's called, some places called a planning module or a planning document, planning application.
It's a component
that is, filed, it's reviewed by the township, but ultimately filed with the DEP. And that's the process that needs to take place in regards to this this project. Now, usually many times it's the developer who is filing these things, planning modules, and making these requests to amend the Act 537 plan, because it does require some engineering and some work, and it's usually townships look to the developers to take on that cost and expense, but the township can do it itself if it so wishes. But, just generally speaking, this property is in an area that the township has denoted as a future service area. It's appropriate 40 applicant to seek public sewers for this development. The township can then decide whether or not they wish to support that. But considering what the Act 537 plan says, it'd be kind of hard for the township to oppose such a request to allow to have DEP approve this development to be publicly sewered. So I just want to kind of, I've been asked to give you this information and this explanation. If you have any questions, please let me know. I also think, the staff would like to see what the board's feelings are about this property being publicly sewered to make sure that, as this development plan moves forward, everyone understands where the board stands on this. Thank you.
And you have something else to talk about?
Yes, the second item has to do with Arcadia Station, the old Ragusa property. Over the last, I would say last week or two, I believe, the township has become aware that the developer is depositing large boulders along the outer boundary of the lots being developed in this project, specifically in an area of land called Open Space 2. The developer is doing this because they haven't been able to get rid of these rocks, which they're encountering when they're digging out basements, doing the grading work. Up till now, they have been burying some on site. In other areas, they've had a landscaper who's taken some off their hands, but I guess they've encountered so many of these boulders that they've really run out of room to put them. And so they've ended up laying them along, basically on the other side of the tree protection fencing, along the outer boundary of various lots within the development. I and the township staff and Carol, the township engineer, have talks with the developer in regards to this. And we are continuing to try to pursue an agreeable remedy for both the township and the developer for this issue. Once again, if you have any questions, please let me know. If you have any thoughts or comments on this, please let me know.
Thank you, Peter. And hold on just one second, Warren. I just want to mention that we had an executive session earlier today to discuss legal issues related to these two topics. So let's make sure we get that on the record. Warren?
Thank you, Marla. That was a good catch.
Is he unmuted?
Warren, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I think I just did.
Yep, you did.
Okay, so I have a couple questions. I have three questions. Peter, you referred to that fence as a tree protection fence.
That's what I've been told it is, yes.
Actually, I don't really expect you to know the answer to this. Maybe Carol would be better because she's more familiar with the plans. That fence could be one of three things. It could be a tree protection fence, which would come under the landscape portion of our SALDO, or it could be a natural historic feature preservation fence, which comes under the design standards, natural or historic features preservation. I guess they're kind of redundant because natural trees come under natural features, or it could be a limited disturbance fence. So Carol, do you know what that is in the plan, what that fence is there for?
I do indeed. It's labeled as a tree protection fence, and there's actually a separate line for a limit of disturbance that is outside of the tree protection fence. So there's a tree protection fence line, and then on the outside of that is a limit of disturbance line. So there are two separate lines, meaning
outside of the developable area, outside where the lots are being built. Further away, yes, than the tree protection fence, right?
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, yes.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so my concern here is not what's been done, but where we go to move forward here, because in the EAC, we're talking about how to fit, how to have tree protection ordinances. To me, it makes no sense to have any ordinance that you can't enforce. We do require a tree protection fence, and the way our ordinance is written, it's to be erected before any land clearing or construction starts, and it's to be located no more than 1 foot from the drip line of the trees, and it's supposed to remain there until the construction is fully completed. So none of those conditions have been met so far through this development. The fence is nowhere near the drip line of any of those trees it's supposed to protect, and the fence has come down in several places throughout the course of construction. The one place that I pointed out, I guess over a year ago in one of our meetings, the fence was removed from the area down around Zieglerville Road. And when I got the answer back as to what was going to be done about that, it was nothing, because the construction that was going on wasn't in that area. And so, you know, the intent of the ordinance was disregarded. That fence is still down. That area has been violated. There's a tree that is laying on the ground right now because the root zone was disturbed. And as an arborist, I realized that one of the most important things, if you're going to have any kind of regulations for tree protection, if you're going to save the trees, you have to have the barriers, and you have to have you have to have strong wording to keep people out of them, and you have to have penalties. So I know I'm going over my 2 minutes here, but my question for Peter, and I guess Carol in the future, what do we do to make it so we have, so that the tree protection ordinance is meaningful, that it is enforceable, or that anybody wants to enforce it, or that it gets implemented the way the intent is?
Yeah, Warren, obviously I'm very new to all of this, but we've already started having preliminary discussions regarding, you know, how to address issues like we're encountering here at Arcadia Station. And obviously, as we, you know, as things move forward, I get more familiar with the township, more familiar with the township's ordinances. You know, I will be making recommendations to the board and to staff on how to address some of these issues. I've been dealing, you know, doing this work for 20 years. My firm literally represents over 40 municipalities. So we have a lot of experience. I've literally probably written over 100 ordinances. And many of which deal with zoning, subdivision, land development, stormwater. So yeah, this is definitely something in our crosshairs, and that we plan to move forward and address, and, you know, if the board wishes to do so in the future.
Well, I appreciate that. Somebody wrote our existing ordinance, and it's meaningless. So that's why I think it's really important that we move forward. And the EAC cares about this issue and wants to work on it. But as far as I'm concerned, it makes no sense for us to even waste any effort unless we have the legal opinion involved, because it makes no sense writing ordinances if they don't get implemented.
And Warren, I fully agree with you. And I see this a lot, where people write very lovely ordinances, but the language, they don't contain all the right provisions, or don't contain the right language in order to make them enforceable. That's just the way, you know, things have happened in the past. Or there are times when language seemed to work, and then more recent court cases say, no, this doesn't work anymore, and you have to update the ordinances, you know, with these changes in the law. But that's certainly something we are aware of.
Yeah, and Peter, if I believe if our agreement with our the Arcadia developer had been a little tighter, it might have been able to address the Boulder issue, correct? It's a matter of the
Yes, wording. I do, I have my own land development and subdivision, or, I have my own development agreements. Although the one used for this development contains a lot of similar language, my agreements actually have something that protects disturbances to open space areas that I think would have prevented this from happening. At the very least, would have forced the developer to come in front of the board and, discuss this with us beforehand and try to figure out a way to deal with this instead of us finding it after the fact.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, Warren, going forward, the hope is that we take a two-prong approach to tighten up our agreements with developers as best can, and also look at all our existing, over time, look at our existing our saldos and our ordinances and make sure that they're tighter and don't make it too loose so that people are able to do things that we don't really intend for them to be able to do. That's my loose interpretation.
Ryan Hill has his hand up. I have stuff I want to say, but I'll wait till these.
Brian, and then Phil.
Again, Brian Hill, 11. Yep.
Go ahead.
Brian Hill, 11 Ziegler-Ville Road. This comment and or question goes towards the solicitor. As you were mentioning regarding the 537, you were speaking on R1 and the opportunity for R1 developers to make a request, and it would then be up to the board to determine whether or not that was something doable for the township. But my comment or question would be for those people that are in the current service area, what is the obligation of the township when the Act 537 was revisited in 2014 and have been a resident of the township for over 15 years with the same problem that I do not have access to current public and my current property has issues with on-site system? What is the obligation of the township?
I mean, what is the obligation of the township to provide you with sewer?
To access to the septic plant, not sewer, but access, simple.
I'm hesitating answering your question. I'm just worried I'm going to say something not knowing all the facts of the case. But generally speaking, when you have a sewer plant and sewer mains, the area in the Act 537 plan doesn't automatically, nor is it required to, match the area actually provided by service. What the Act 537 plan does when it denotes an area within the township to be served by public sewer is if a new development comes in, if a new house comes in, they are, instead of using on lot systems to provide sewage service, they're supposed to, supposed to extend the sewer lines, the existing lines, to that property so the public sewer can serve that property. And obviously this is a much easier thing for a developer who has the money and has the resources and is anticipating the profit from the sale of houses than it is for an individual landowner if it's a long run of sewer main that has to be installed. The township, by putting you in the public sewer area, the township isn't guaranteeing that when you want to have public sewer service, the township is required to provide it to you. It's more of a planning. It's more of okay, if someone decides to build a home, one of the obligations of building that home is that you're going to have to actually connect to public sewer, and you're the one who is going to have to build a sewer line to the closest main. Is that what you're looking for, Mr. Hill?
So I guess the question I have, if we have a full line of homes that do not have public access and need public access at some point, if I am the owner of the pipe, then I am the issuer of the EDUs, and I don't think the township would like me to be that person, because if I own the pipe.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, if I'm going to be the provider of the pipe, then I'm the owner of the pipe.
No, it can't go both ways. Mr. Hill,
That simple.
Hold on, Mr. Hill. Let me explain, please.
I've had this conversation with too many people. This township put me into this position simply at allowing the Montgomery County to come in and red stamp this property, putting me into a position. I've dealt with this crap, pardon the pun, for 15 years. I am tired of it. I am the red dot on the 537, and something needs to happen. If it does not happen soon, I am going to go to the state, and the state will mandate this happening. So the township better get their act together real soon. I'm tired of having this conversation. I'm sorry I'm being very forthright, and unfortunately this is new to you, but this conversation needs to stop and action needs to take. Oh yes, there's all kinds of different options out there, but the pipe needs to be provided somehow, some way. And it's going to go past other people's properties. And so if it's going past other people's properties and they need to hook in sometime future place, and on the pipe provider, they're paying me. That's simple. You can't make me throw a pipe in and make me pay for the pipe passing other people's houses and then give them the access into the pipe that I just put down the street. Something needs to happen here. I'm sorry that I'm acting like a jerk, but this was put upon me without my understanding when I bought the house, and the township knew it, period, end of story. Something happened here and someone's hiding something. I don't know who hid it, but it's got to be put forth and it needs to be rectified, simple as is.
Mr. Hill, this is a complex discussion that probably we don't need to do at a public meeting, but...
Well, it has to be in a public meeting.
If the township wants me to have this discussion with you offline, I'm more than willing to have it.
No, the reason I have it in a public discussion is because it needs to be put public constantly, so that eventually when I do go to the DEP, that the DEP says this has been discussed multiple times and the township kept on turning their eyes to it. That's why I keep on bringing it up occasionally. I'm not bringing it up in every meeting, but at least once a year it's brought up, because I want them to see that I've brought this to the township's attention multiple times, and they keep on giving me some other discussion that, oh, there's other options and such. I have been told this multiple times, and so I apologize. I don't mean to load this onto you, and that's the end of my comment. Thank you.
Not a problem, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Phil's hand is raised.
Phil, you should be able to unmute.
Got it. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Phil Smith, 205 Girl Off Road. I also serve on the Township Planning Commission. And I got the general flavor for, the opinion of our solicitor in regard to our 537 plan and our zoning with sewering into the R1 areas. I guess what I am putting out on the table is that, there is some background of misunderstanding and misinterpretation and so forth. And I think that it would behoove the Planning Commission in the future to open a conversation about our 537 plan, our alignment to our comprehensive plan, as well as our zoning. And I would hope that the township solicitor would be able to give us some guidance as to how we can make those uniform, understandable, and workable as we move forward into the future. I think that has been a kind of a recent but reoccurring problem that needs to be addressed. And I think that, I think it would behoove the Township Planning Commission to begin that process as soon as possible. So I guess it's more of a comment that I'm making than a question, but I will leave it for the Board of Supervisors to decide whether a recommendation for that would be appropriate at this time.
This is Chuck Geiser. I'll follow up on what Phil said. I've been kind of waiting. I would like to propose the board make a motion to request that the Planning Commission consider the land development project as one that is eligible for neighborhood lotting. I think the board needs to more or less weigh in at this point, because the Planning Commission obviously needs direction based on the meeting that I saw a little while ago. So that would be my motion, that this 225 be considered as a land development that is eligible for neighborhood lotting.
I will second that.
Is there any further discussion? Oh, you do that, Marla. Sorry.
All right, old habits. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Passed. So the board has expressed its support that the 225 Big Road development project is eligible for neighborhood lotting.
And Marla, if there's no other further questions, that's the extent of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
This is Chuck. Before we move on, Peter or Carol or Mark, is there any further direction you need from the board regarding the Boulder situation with Arcadia Station, or you have what you need at this point?
We have what we need at this point. We expect the developer to get back to us later this week.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have this wrapped up by Friday.
Great.
Zach, yeah, that's the extent you got, Mark and Carol,
yep.
Right?
Yep, I agree.
And thank you, Peter. You've really jumped in the deep end right off the bat. So welcome to Lower Frederick.
Oh, I appreciate it. Hey, it's more fun this way than just sitting through hours and hours and not saying a thing.
Well, Mark can attest to that too. It's never quiet around here. Okay, committee reports. Planning Commission, who's here on behalf of Planning Commission? I thought I saw Linda.
Well, Phil's here if Linda's not.
Yeah, Linda's here. Linda, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me? I am having great problems connecting. I have a completely black screen. I do not have the report prepared. I just sent you an email asking if perhaps Phil could give the report put together, okay. And I'm very sorry for that.
All right, let me find Phil again. Yeah, I think everybody needs to do an update. I think that might be the problem.
I keep fading in and out of Zoom, so
I'd be happy,
Phil, there you are.
I'd be happy to give the report.
All right, go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, the planning. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good.
I have to mute Linda.
Okay, the Planning Commission met on August the 20th, and we had a number of topics, the first of which was the Gentera plan discussion of 225 Big Road. We reviewed the engineer's letter dated August the 17th. And entered a conversation with the applicant and the applicant's land planner. We covered a number of topics involving that development plan on Big Road. The applicant left with a number of understandings. It was actually a sketch plan review, and the applicant was able to understand the Planning Commission's position on many of the topics, and as a result of that, They will be going eventually to a full application for preliminary and final approval. And of course, one of the outstanding issues, as we learned earlier in this meeting, was that the sewage issue was still outstanding and needed to be resolved. And we, you know, needed a solicitor's interpretation in order to accomplish that, which we have received tonight. And the board has, of course, recommended that we look at neighborhood lotting, which was what we were reviewing at the time for the concept plan that was submitted before us. So we have those issues behind us, and we look forward to working with that developer as they want to move forward with their plan. The Planning Commission also went on to a discussion of below grade structures and sump pumps. The Planning Commission looked at material that was brought forward by Jackie O'Neill, Dan Orff, Greg Pocus, and Ruth Heil, which were part of a work group that the EAC and the Planning Commission members had put together to begin to look at that as an ordinance change, perhaps for the township. And we felt basically at the conclusion that the issues involved there would be addressed through a little bit further research and discussion. There were several issues of concern brought forward by members of the public that we looked at, and we're looking forward to furthering that as time goes on in the future weeks and perhaps months. We discussed it very briefly, the issue of the interplay of the township zoning code and the comprehensive plan with regard to sewering. But basically it came down to the solicitor's interpretation, which was still pending at that point, was unavailable to us. And we concluded with needing that interpretation before we could have any other future conversations. That's one of the reasons why this evening I brought to you know, Peter's attention that perhaps he would give us some guidance that would help us in that process if we decide to address it as a future agenda item coming down the pike. And the last item was a brief review of the tree removal and tree harvesting proposed ordinance. Again, that was an issue that was being looked at jointly by volunteer members of the Planning Commission and the EAC. They had come together and felt that that issue was something that needed, again, some further research, and we will be addressing that at a later date when there's some more specifics to be brought back to the Planning Commission for recommendations or opinion. So that concludes the essence of the August 20th meeting of the Planning Commission of Lower Frederick Township. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Phil about anything in that report? No, comprehensive plan. Are you gonna take that, Chuck?
We did not meet this month, so there is no report.
So there's no comprehensive plan meeting in August. Parks and Rec, who's here for that?
I have Pam. Pam, you should be able to unmute.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good evening. The park board held our concert on our rain date, August 20th in Upper Salford Park. It was very well attended, and we had a very nice evening. So that went off well. Our next event is Movie on the Mountain on September 12th. That's over at Spring Mount, and it will be handled as a drive-in movie, no food, and you'll drive in and park and watch the movie on the hill. So we will be distancing on that as well. I'd like to thank the board for approving the QR code plant tag program. We look forward to utilizing this technology in various forms throughout our park system for educational outreach. Cuddy Park is targeted for some interest next year for educational work. And we also thank Marla for your donation and the board's support on that. The park board members have been, for the most part, concluding the inspections of all of the parks and the tot lots for maintenance and safety issues. That information will be consolidated and forwarded to Mark for address by the municipal crew. We're using that inspection process to develop a list of park improvement projects for use for budgeting for the next few years going forward and to develop projects. These draft projects and events will be a key topic for discussion during our next park board meeting on September 14th. And we will be looking to get a list and a budget estimates together to Mark soon after that meeting. Our primary project this year is working on our PWC grant for the rain garden at Cuddy. Park board members and volunteers have been busy preparing the site. Thank you to Noelle and Janet Leno for their power weeding, helping me get on top of things, and Warren for his support as well. We will be expanding the rain garden to include a secondary basin down gradient from the main basin. These basins can be used pretty much as they exist. I think I've explained in the past that we won't need much engineering changes here. We will, for the most part, just be removing excess river rock to increase the planting area and to increase the retention, absorption, and filtration of the two basins. We had a quick meeting this last week with PWC. Mark and Tommy attended, and also several members of the park board to review the details of the site preparation to make sure we're on board and we're headed in the right direction. We did complete the plant list and the planting plan for both basins. They have been drafted up, and I released those and forward those out to the park board this afternoon for review. So that's moving along very well. And our planting date is set for Saturday, October 24th from 10 to 3. We have sign up. I did send a posting to Mark and Bonnie for posting up on the web township website, but we're using PWC's site for people to sign up. This is an excellent activity for children as well. And we do know that following the planting, deer fencing will be needed around that grain garden to protect it from our very healthy herd of deer. And that will be costed out and included in our budget considerations that we forward for approval. Lastly, the PWC stream cleanup that was postponed from April is now finally scheduled for Saturday, October 31st from 9 to 12. The sign up again is live back on the PWC site. If you signed up for the previous site and you want to stay with it, you'll be present at this one at the same locations. Just you're okay, you're signed up. If you want to get off the listing, you can't make it on that date, then please take your name down off of the sign-up sheet. Lower Frederick is sponsoring three locations again this year and looking forward to a good turnout there. That will be with masks and spacing, and we're limiting the size of groups that will work at each site. And that is the end of my report. Any questions?
Yeah, this is Dan Orff. When you do your assessment related to parks and park projects, I believe we need to reassess any parks that are in our that are in floodplains, especially any of them that have equipment deployed, and we might want to consider reallocating that equipment to parks that aren't in floodplains.
That's a very good subject. We do have Foy Park noted as a target for discussion during our meeting on the 14th, realizing that there's a tot lot there that got flooded out. And that tot lot is not in very good condition anymore. It has some issues. So we do need to address that as a township.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think it's safe for people to, I noticed the caution tape is still around it, which is appropriate. I question the noting how frequently that land gets submerged in Foy Park. I don't think it's a sound use of township money to continue to try to maintain that type of equipment there. So
I would agree with you personally, but we haven't discussed it as a group. But the equipment itself in the tot lot is still starting to deteriorate pretty badly. So it's a good decision point now to move on that.
Yeah.
So Pam, is this something you could consider to look at Foy Park, and given the environmental and weather issues there, what would be the most sensible use of that space for the township, other than what's currently occurring there, that would make use of their very unique environmental and kind of climactic situation they have there?
Correct. And I believe we're restricted by the zoning there also for, it's not zoned for active use, I believe. So we need to be careful what we put there, but that will be looked at and we'll make a recommendation to the board.
Yeah, and the only reason I bring this up, because if you guys were looking at it and you came to the board, there's no way I personally would feel comfortable supporting anything that expended more money to support the equipment there. I'd support money to remove the equipment, but not to support it. It's just good money after bad.
Right now, the tot lot's not usable because the safety mulch that was under there was all washed away. And we can't legally allow, liability does not allow us to allow children to use that lot unless that safety mulch is there. And it's extremely expensive to put that there, so.
Yes, we know that.
Yes, exactly. So yes, that's a topic for discussion. Good idea, okay. Good to bring that up.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions for Park Board? Anything from the public?
I think we have Ruth on. Ruth, are you there?
Yeah, I'm just ready for my report.
Oh, okay, EAC?
Before I continue, I just want to point out that I did not properly introduce myself when I made my comment to Chief Maxey. This is Ruth Heil from Swamp Creek Road. So the EAC met virtually on August 24th. Members approved a set of recommendations related to sump pumps and below grade structures. But in the meantime, arrangements have been made to take advantage of Carol Schuler's offer to give us a 1-hour consult with soil scientist Stephen, I don't want to mispronounce his name, Dadio, from Value Engineering. A meeting is scheduled for September 4th with Carol, Stephen, and members of the EAC, members of the Board of Supervisors, and the Planning Commission. The intent is to ensure our recommendations are suitable and feasible and that science-related concerns raised previously are satisfied. After that, we expect to reconvene the PAC-EAC working group to amend the EAC recommendations accordingly. That amendment then will then be brought to a follow-up vote at the EAC's meeting in September. After that, we'll be looking to Mark Hudson for guidance so that we can move the recommendations forward through the process, noting the recommendations by Solicitor Nelson when he spoke about the topic at the last Board of Supervisors workshop meeting. So that's it for the sump pump below grade structure issue. The Tree Preservation Working Group is in the process of evaluating existing ordinances, as Phil Smith mentioned, and they're performing other research, so no further action was taken on that issue. Details for the September 28th on-lot septic system presentation have been posted on the EAC's page of the Lower Frederick website. We're asking help to spread the word. We expect the talk to be informative and valuable for both addressing existing concerns and preventing future failures. Then the night ended with a discussion about our next priorities, and topping the list was an inventory of stormwater management BMPs and facilities, as well as inventory of significant natural resources within the township. Our next meeting in September will be abbreviated due to the on-lot septic presentation, which will follow. So our meeting will only run from 7 until 7:15. On September 28th, and then the presentation will follow at 7:30, but that will be under a different Zoom meeting ID. So the details are on the flyer that is posted at the EAC page. And then there remains one vacant seat on the council, and that is my report.
Ruth, if you could send that flyer to myself and Chuck, we can send it around to the regional planning. We have that meeting coming up in another 2 weeks, so we can share it with all of those six municipalities.
Okay.
I would also, we should also share it with Upper Salford as well.
We can send that over.
You'll take care of that, Mark?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I think Warren wanted to add on to your
report. Warren has his hand up.
As far as the tree protection discussion we had, the further research that Ruth alluded to was put in the form of a letter with questions to Mark by Denise. And Mark shared it with Carol. Carol wrote a letter back that hasn't been discussed in the meeting yet, so I'm not sure if it's appropriate to talk about it, but I don't really want to talk about it. What I want to do is I would like it if the supervisors would approve having Peter take a look at the letter and at Carol's response to get him up to snuff on what's going on here.
I don't think any of us have seen it. Mark, can you give us some more details on that?
I think I've already actually brought Peter up to, I already started to bring him into the loop on that. It's just, it's only been a week. There's only so many things. So they're just asking for some direction with the different tree ordinances out there. And Carol offered them some opinions, and I think Peter would be able to give them many good opinions also. It has been a very busy week, so I haven't gotten them completely up to date on everything yet. But we did talk about the trees briefly, and I think it's a good idea to get his opinion also.
So Warren, is that okay if you can work through Mark and he'll work with Peter on that?
I'm just requesting that Peter's allowed to read these letters.
Do you need us to approve that, Mark, or can you?
I think you can if you'd like, if you want to make it official. If it's having to do with an ordinance, and, you know, it seemed, I've already been working on it, so, with Peter. So we'll get you something soon, Warren.
Yeah.
And then, this is Ruth again. I just want to thank Carol for the offering of that meeting. If she could pronounce his last name for me, I'd appreciate it. But hopefully this meeting will help us stop talking in circles and guessing at things, and he can give us some good answers. So thank you, Carol.
Thank you for the shout out. And it's Steve Dadio.
Thank you.
Stephen Dadio. So we look forward to that on Friday. And I also am interested to receive your list of questions so that we can put together the information you want for Friday.
Jackie is working on that right now.
Super, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board or the public for the EAC? Okay, new business? Mark, new business?
The only thing, I think I did talk with Peter about the 5G a little bit, so I think he is able to give a quote if you would like him to proceed with working on the 5G. Peter, are you there?
Yes.
So we had the quote from the Cohen group, so trying to keep Peter up to date on everything. So we've been talking about the ordinance. Our ordinance is out of date and actually has many things in it that are technically illegal and we can't have them in anymore. So we need to do an update to our cellular, small cell, 5G, DVR, or whatever. DVR, that's wrong. But there's another DMV or what's the...
DAS.
Thank you. Sorry. So as we were bringing, as I was trying to bring Peter up to date on everything that I can, we were talking about the 5G. So Peter has done, I guess we should call it the small cell wireless. He has done the small cell wireless ordinances and feels he could bring ours up to date for us, utilizing ones he's done in the past and utilizing if we want to go with the design manual, there's design manuals out there that we could use. And Peter, don't take offense, but knowing that Dan Cohen is the best at this because he specializes in it all the time.
Take no offense whatsoever.
But Peter would be able to do it for us for under $2,500 probably.
Now, would that include all the other updates we need in the last, like, three generations of technologies that are not covered in our current ordinance?
Yeah, I would hope so. It might not be the most up-to-date, you know, as for 2020, because some of the stuff I did like 4 or 5 years ago, but it's still applicable. Your ordinance needs to be updated, you know, concerning, you know, just the traditional classic, you know, 150-foot cell tower and all the, you know, technology that's been developed since then. And, you know, what I would do would address all of that up to including the latest FCC requirements regarding small wireless facilities, which are the 5G facilities.
So just to make sure I understand what you're saying, because first you said you haven't done anything up to 4 or 5 years ago. So what you're what I think you're saying is you can update our ordinance from basically the early 2000s to make it compliant with federal law up to and including the recent FCC order from 2019, which covers small wireless facilities.
Correct. Yes.
And it is not, well, the design manual is pretty standard out there. Okay. So do we need to vote on that or just have consensus that he can go ahead and do it?
However you got the board normally handles this, you know, if you want to have a vote, do a vote, but it's not legally required.
Well, are there any objections to Peter taking this on and going ahead to update our what would it be called, wireless ordinance?
So wireless provisions in the zoning ordinance.
No objection here.
This is Chuck Geiser. There's no objection.
No objection.
All right, I guess that's a yes. Go forth and
I will get on it. Thank you.
Please get it done before they arrive in our township.
I will, yes.
Thank you. Any other new business? Any other board members have anything they have new business?
I just want to, you know, give another plug for the comp plan survey, but I can wait a little bit.
Well, actually, this would be a good time to do it before we have public comment.
Give me 1 second here.
Oops. Mark will share the postcard that residents have received. Ding. So, thanks to many people, Marla included, Noel, and lots of others. You know, these postcards have been mailed out to residents in our township, and we're looking for feedback for our comprehensive plan. And this plan is referred to as Lower Frederick 2040. So we have a survey that's out there on the internet. There are also paper copies that can be obtained from our township office if you don't have connection to the internet. And I think the closing date is, we still have a few more weeks to get them in. I know we've gotten definitely more than 100 responses so far based on the last time I communicated with our planner, but we do encourage people to fill these out and weigh in and what they want to see in Lower Frederick as we move forward in the next 20 years. Thank you.
Oh, and I just want to add that I think there's also a pile of the actual cards in the township office. So if someone just, anyone who is on public sewer had this on the back of their sewage bill. So if you didn't notice it, please pull out your bill and turn it over. You can get a card in the township office. Everyone else who's not on public sewer received the postcard, but it is exactly the same as this. So, and more than one person in a household can do it. I think they have to be over 18 maybe. Okay, are we ready for public comment?
Yep. Hold on, you got Phil Smith, hold on 1 second. Go ahead, Phil, you should be able to unmute.
Hello.
Gail.
Yes, it's Gail Gosser, Girl Off Road, not Phil Smith, Gail Gosser. This goes back to the parks report, in that if the parks board is looking at what to do about the flooding equipment down at Foy Park, I'm wondering, and there's a possibility of removing that equipment, is or will they be considering alternative locations for play equipment for the children? A different location, moving it to a different location. Would that be part of their research?
Yeah, I will pass that on to them, and Pam is still on the call. I will say that we cannot remove the playground equipment that is there and utilize that at another location.
But could another location be determined, and then another tot lot or exercise area for children set up? Would that
yes.
be part
yeah,
of
yeah, it would have to be approach? It would have to be new equipment.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure that was known.
What my question is, could there be an alternative to that spot? Does that make sense?
We will ask the park board to look at that.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. I think Brian was next. I lost track after that.
Yep. Brian, you can unmute.
Yep, I'm you're muted. There. Brian Hill, 11 Ziegler Hill Road. First comment I'd like to make is I'd like to apologize to our solicitor for my kind of outburst. But as you have heard from me, this has been an ongoing issue for my household for many years, and we need to find resolutions. So I would entertain the opportunity to speak to you offline and seeing where we can pursue. The second thing I want to comment on is I want to thank Chief Maxey and his team for their consistent service to our township. I would not support defunding any police, specifically within our township, but also in our state and our nation. That is absolute lunacy. Regarding police matters, Chief Maxey, I'd like to bring to your attention, we've had a particular car that seems to be using our street as its takeoff zone. It's a black little Honda CRX with tinted windows. Unfortunately, I do not have his license plate, but this car seems to want to break the sound barrier going through our street here several times. I believe he lives up in the townhouses somewhere, but if you could keep your eyes out for that particular car, this guy, you can hear him all over town. He's got one of those modified pipes on his car. So again, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Brian. And we will definitely look into that. I will assign one of the guys to work on that first thing tomorrow.
Thank you.
Mr. Hill, no apology is necessary. It's part of the job. Thank you. But it's appreciated, though.
I think we had Heidi next.
Hands first, whether it was Heidi or Warren. So I guess.
I think it's Heidi. I think it goes as they raise hands. Heidi, you should be able to unmute.
Yes, hi. I'm Heidi Brown, and my address is 214 Zieglerville Road. And I guess I just want to expand a little bit about the house that was burnt down. We are we are actually the property right next to that house, and due to the fire and the house being demolished that same day, there was a fuel tank that was ruptured. So there is fuel oil puddling in our front yard and running down Zieglerville Road. And I know that we had talked to the township manager, my husband had, we've had the police and the fire company out here. I guess my concern is, and my comment, is that neighboring property that belongs to Ed Hockle has numerous code violations and have had numerous code violations for years. And I just want to make sure that the township is going to take this very seriously, because now we have a situation on our hands where that oil is dripping into the storm drains. The people across the street can smell it. And I feel like the buck is being passed of who's going to clean up this mess. And I want this to be taken seriously. We are good property owners here, and I don't want this brushed under the rug.
Thank you. Mark, can you handle that?
Yes, I've been in contact with Rob, her husband, and we'll continue to stay in contact. We're in the process of trying to take some measures to take care of some of those issues. We're working with DEP. We had DEP out twice. They were out today again. Waiting to get a report back from them, but she is correct. It is a mess, and we are working diligently to try to get some answers for that. I will stay in contact with Heidi and Rob to try to keep them up to date on everything that we're doing.
Yeah, Mark, I am here with my wife, and that you have been very helpful with your updates, to me. I also wanted to thank Chief Maxey for spending the time with us today to explain everything. But yes, my wife's correct. This is serious situation here, and I look forward to you keeping us updated.
Yeah, and I just wanted to just make sure that it's noted that this isn't, we've complained before about our neighbor and the things that are going on over there. And I mean, enough's enough.
Thank you.
Understood.
Does Warren still have his hand up?
Warren is, he's unmuted, so.
Yeah, changing the subject back to what Gail brought up. I just want to let Gail know that I'll definitely be bringing that topic up. I just insisted putting that topic on the agenda. And if you have any ideas, please join the meeting and chime in with us.
And Warren, I assume you're referring to the
Gail's comment about about making the mitigating the loss of that park equipment if that has to happen.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to state that in case not everybody picked up on it. Thank you.
Any other public comments or anything else any board members want to add?
This is Dan. I just wanted to note that, and this is a sort of a statement and a question. I noticed that there is now a Port-a-John facility at the top of, at the access point to the Perkiomen Trail. Kind of like behind
behind John the
restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah, their parking area there. Yeah, I've been in contact with the county and
is that them?
Yeah, the county put that in for the trail.
That's, I think that's great, and that's a much better solution. Thank goodness we removed the Port-a-John from the Foy Park. It would have been floating down the river. So. Yeah, I thought it might have been theirs, but I just wanted to check.
The county's. The county's paying for that and put that in.
Awesome.
I was working with Joe from the county.
That's a real plus. Thank you.
Yep.
For news.
This is Chuck Yeiser. Just responding to Heidi, Mark indicated earlier in the meeting it's been a very busy week, and I know what that busyness relates to the problem and that you described earlier and what has happened. And he has been keeping the board up to speed on what's been going on as he gets new information. So it has been being taken very seriously.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, just to emphasize what Chuck is saying, we've had a tough couple months. We had that horrible storm with the flooding. We had a water rescue. We've had roads ruined, and then we had this fire, and we are very fortunate to have Mark on top of everything, but we are very small staff, and we all do the best we can. Mark works very hard, and he is focused on this issue. So if it seems like he isn't, I think we can all assure you that he definitely is, and we're all concerned about this issue, but Mark is your main point of contact.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I just want to make sure that, you know, we were heard, and you know, I do understand that, and I thank you.
Yeah, we weren't even going to chime in because of the situation, knowing that this is last minute, but we just wanted to have our voices heard, that's all.
Well, thank you for coming to the meeting, and I hope this won't be the last one you come to. I hope you can come in better circumstances, too.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have anyone else, Marla.
Okay, so if there's nothing else from the board or from the public, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
I second. Dan Orff seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We're in adjournment.
Good night.
Thanks,
night,
everyone.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night. Good night.